It says there that there is now a Bible talk, and that falls to me. It was Bing Crosby who sang, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." And I'm echoing that very thought at the moment because, as you have sung, the temperature has risen probably 1 or 2 degrees every time you started to sing the next carol. It is very warm, it's very muggy here. But the reality is we don't see many white Christmases here in Australia. You have to travel somewhere else. But a blue Christmas, that I think is very common. Elvis Presley sang about it when he sang, "I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking of you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me." And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, but I'll have a blue, blue, blue Christmas. There are many things that can make Christmas a blue Christmas. A sad, a trying, a hard, a cruel Christmas. It may be that empty seat at the Christmas table that used to be filled but no longer is. As you feel the sharpness of the pain of grief in a very cutting way at Christmas time, a time of family. It may be that there are estranged members in your family. And so Christmas is different because of that. Maybe as a family or as individuals, you are suffering under some very heavy burden. Financial, health, social, legal. Maybe you have ongoing battles with physical anxiety, with depression. As Stephen Eltrogi observes, after the tree is down and the wrapping paper put away and the music silenced, all the problems still remain. Evil and sadness and suffering return to centre stage. So what makes a Christmas a joyous Christmas? What makes Christmas a blessing, even when it doesn't seem to be? What is the key to overcoming a blue Christmas? The answer is the birth of Jesus. That Jesus came into this world, as we've read, as we've testified to in song. Yes, for a few days we get to forget about our problems. We get to embrace something magical and special, especially if children are involved. But the problems, the difficulties, the sadnesses, the touch of evil upon our lives and in our hearts don't disappear. And the news cycle soon moves our thoughts back to the harsher realities of life, to the deep troubles, to the severe pains that many of us have to face. But that is why we should be so thankful for the birth of Jesus. Jesus coming into this world was different. It marked a dramatic shift for the one that was born is the King, and who would grow into a mighty warrior king. The wise men tell us that they had come looking for a king who was born to the Jews. We've seen his star and we've travelled. In other words, though born to the Jews, they saw that this king was important not just for Jews, but for them. Strangers to the Jews, people of a far off land. They came to honour him. They came to worship him as not just the king, but in owning him as their king. Here is the king that they saw the world needed. The king for the world. the King who would gather the world, the King of the world. That's what they were saying as they went to Jerusalem and asked, well, where is he born? Where can we meet him? Where can we see him? They were right that he was the King, long promised, long spoken of, now at time, in time, had come. But they were wrong, for they thought that such a great king would be born in a palace, in the capital city, in Jerusalem. But when the news they were given from the Bible, given 700 years earlier by the prophet Micah, they realized that that's not where he was born. He was born in Bethlehem, the birthplace of his royal ancestor, King David. That's a truth that testifies and speaks of his humanity. He was born like we are born. He was born a helpless, defenseless little child, just as we are. He was human. Yet that same prophecy in Micah that talks about the birth of this one who would be born in the family line of David in Bethlehem also tells us that this is the one who goes forth, his goings forth are from of old and from everlasting. I don't know about you. Yes, I do know about you, just as I know about me. I had a beginning and I'll have an end in terms of life of this world. My goings forth are not from eternity, neither are yours. To go forth from of old, from everlasting, requires deity. Someone who is greater than this creation, who is outside it, yet who has come into it. So that he who was born in Bethlehem, though born as a human being, already was, and had often made appearances in this world, such as to Abraham, to Moses. Both his eternal existence and his earthly existence is what is declared to us in the fifth chapter of Micah. Only God is eternal. This King is the God-man. And then in Micah we read that as the God-man, this King will be a shepherd to his people. That is, he will guard them, he will gather them, he will protect them. He will deliver them from trouble. He will provide for them. He will care for them. Above all, he will bring peace. Indeed, we are told in the fifth verse, he is peace. Or as Isaiah put it in our first reading, in chapter 9, verse 6, he is the Prince of Peace. How is he going to do that? Well, the New Testament tells us that it will be through his death. That through his death we will be reconciled to God. That we would know peace with God, and as a result, for all that enter into that peace, they will enjoy peace in their heart, a peace, Peter tells us, that passes all understanding. And a peace one amongst each other. For in following him who loved us, we cannot help but love one another and care for one another. The only thing that could break the century-long struggle against sin, death, and Satan, in other words, entered the world when Jesus was born. God himself as man. And that is the true meaning of Christmas. If you like, Christmas is the declaration of war. The King has come to do battle. The King has come to rescue his people, to bring them under his banner. He owns them as the objects of his love and dies for them. The decisive victory was there at the cross when he paid the penalty for our sin, and on the third day rose triumphant over sin and death, declaring that the way to God, the way of peace, was now open to all who believe. That was the decisive victory. But there will be an ultimate victory as well, the Bible tells us, when our warrior king returns and brings in the new heavens and the new earth, a new beginning for all of creation. In other words, Christmas is a reminder that the King has come and is coming. That the King is a warrior King who is establishing even now his kingdom by speaking into the lives of individual people, calling them to believe in him, to trust in him, to follow him. Christmas is ultimately about the kingdom of God coming to the sad, broken and sin-marred world. That here is true peace, joy, real hope in the warrior king and because of the warrior king. Now we suffer, but even in that we see that our king has transformed it into a path for change and for blessing. Now we suffer. But the promise of Christmas is that it's not forever. It counts, but it will not last forever. At Christmas, we are reminded this same Jesus, now risen and ascended on high to the throne of the universe, is still working. He is our help. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our peace. At Christmas, we are reminded of the coming day of absolute victory and glory. This Christmas, why not renew your acquaintance with Jesus or begin it? May God use the truth about Jesus that we've heard, and we've sung about, so that if you're feeling gloomy, you will take heart. If you're feeling broken, that you'll receive courage. That if you're in the midst of grief, you will find comfort. Instead of a blue Christmas, may you know peace, joy, and hope because of the King who has come, the King who is returning. And so let us close by singing together, "Joy to the World, the Lord is come."